Another episode of the show today. We're talking about all the players going in and out of Iowa City. We've got Torrey Taylor, Joe Evans, Nico Ragaini returning. Van Ness is off to the NFL, and that one hurts. We talk about that, the implications. We also got Seth Anderson, Eric Ull, and potentially a Stanford offensive lineman that could really make a difference. This is all after an introductory 25-minute conversation where we just bullshit. You guys know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome, fans, episode 283, I think, because I saw a graphic of 282 today on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I would like to also welcome myself back to a podcast that I am now on much less than, or wait, I'm gone much more than I'm here. And that's going to be the case again on Sunday. My apologies. I'll be in San Francisco. But I'm here today to talk to two of my best friends. Looking forward to it. So, I don't know if it's going to be much about college football because, as far as I know, college football is over except for one last game. So here goes nothing. Kluver, what's up, pal? Kevin, what's up, pal? You look like hell, by the way.
You look like a
fucking fork in a light socket. I don't know what to tell you.
We got into the call. I'm obviously here first. Drake pops in almost every time. He says a demeaning greeting because I think somewhere deep inside Drake, if he addresses me with respect, then that hurts him. I think there's something within him that's we maybe need to explore that.
I get that too, Drake. I just try to push those feelings down, but out of just being nice. But I get those feelings too.
Yeah. We can talk about it. I mean, we can surely talk about it.
You're just fun to shit on, Kluve.
Look at you right now. No. Look at you right now. You look like a disco ball because the glare off of your forehead is so serious that
it's not
spin. Are you looking at your forehead right now?
It's been worse than this.
Dog, that is hurting my eyes through a computer screen. Okay, it looks like you got alopecia of the forehead.
I do have alopecia, and that's disrespectful. I'm a part of a marginalized community, okay?
Yeah, and it looks like it crept its way onto your fucking forehead.
Well.
And now second, you showed up without sleep, and I know what Iowa looks like in January, okay? And I also know that you haven't been lifting that hard because you've been hurt. So how about you put some sleeves on because you know your physique ain't what it used to be.
I'll flex on this podcast. I'll bust the
– don't hurt yourself. Watch him pass out, hit his head again. Now he's in concussion protocol for the second time. He's got Tua syndrome. Every time he hits his head, he goes to sleep.
I'm going to send my advocacy group, my alopecia advocacy group after you. They're going to show up in Queen Creek.
And they're not going to find me. If they show up in Queen Creek, they're just not going to be lucky.
I've got your address. I'll send them there.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we showed up. Kevin does look like he stuck two forks into light socket or electrical sockets. And I don't know if you just showered or if you just worked out or if you just got beat up in your driveway. But when you got home, you tell me, Kev, what's going on?
I got out of the shower about 30 seconds before you pressed record on this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just got a nice little 1.5 kilometer swim in. And then, chlorine just on the body feels horrible. So you just got to get showering.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah, especially in the winter. Yeah.
Is there any chance your dick's out on the bottom of this podcast? If you pointed there.
There is a chance. Yeah, there's absolutely a chance.
There's always a chance.
I mean, it's yes or no, right? So that means there's a 50% chance, right?
That feels right.
Certainly, yeah.
Is there any 0-0 here? Does it throw off the percentages of touch? Or
is this a roulette table?
No. It's just red or black. It's
the house wins here.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's run it back real quick, because, I mean, it's been going on for 10 years now, right? It's 2023. I met you fuckers in 2013.
Which is crazy. It's been a decade, dude.
This year, in the summer, late summer, August, is when I met you two.
I would have met Drake in June and Kluver in late July or the August, right?
August, yeah.
Kev, what did you think of me when we first met each other? Because I used to do crazy, egregious shit just to get a reaction out of you, because I knew, like, very, very early that we weren't the same. I knew that we were going to be great friends, but I knew that we were so different that I just started getting crazy from the beginning.
I think my first impression of you is, like, this is just one of those dudes who did nothing but spend time in the weight room in high school.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know how good he is at football, but he's fucking damn good in the weight room.
Turned out not that good in the first round.
Right? Hey, man, it is what it is. Tape don't lie.
Yeah.
Decent in high school, though, right? For the Muskies?
Played pretty good for the Muskies, boy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Probably had a lot of tackles, right? I mean.
Did all right. Not as many as. My buddy Ryan Bader had 170 tackles his senior year of high school.
Jesus Christ.
170.
And if they played 13,
they went 14-0.
Like
they went 14-0.
Okay. That helps.
Won the state title. 170 bomb.
Did anyone else on the team tackle anyone?
Not sure.
So Bader averaged 12 a game. That ain't bad.
Not bad.
I think I was close.
Is Josie going
to
get his goal? Didn't he say he wanted $150 this year or something like that?
No, I bet that he'd get $150, and Kluver took the under, and he was like, "Fuck you, Kluver, you piece of shit."
Kluver, can we get an update on Josie's stats for the year?
We can. He's had multiple injuries this year. He hasn't played a full slate.
Well, you gotta factor that into the.
Yeah,
into
that's part of the line. Yeah,
I know.
Oh shit. He's fucking guy can tackle, right?
Guy can tackle, can he?
Where are we at, Clue?
123.
And how many games?
I mean, they've got.
They only got one game left.
They've got one game left.
How many games has he played?
Good question. Let me see.
He's only been inactive for one, right? He's gotten taken out of.
Didn't he have a calf injury early, and then he had an MCL injury?
So it looks like he played in. Looks like he played in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that it? Just 12 games?
That's what I thought, dude. He had an MCL injury for several weeks mid year.
He's averaging.
I thought he only missed one game with that.
He's averaging 10 a game, which would have put him at 170. A healthy season at this clip is 170 burger, and I'm dropping my nuts on this computer, but, you know.
Oh, my God. I will say Russ helped him out with those stats.
But when you put it that way, dude, like, how do you even survive an NFL season that's 17 games long?
You don't.
You don't, like, very often. I mean, they're trying to create rules to help that, but you don't.
Look at this asshole right here.
And they still only got, what, 49 guys playing each week?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 48 are, like, dressed or something like that.
Yeah, unbelievable, man.
So, that's a lot of time. I mean, they spend a lot of time on the field over there in Denver on that defensive side. They're kind of like the Iowa defense.
And they had a damn good defense this year, too. If they'd had any sort of offense, this is a whole
different. Yeah, man, they just got fucking worn out. They're just like tires that just got a little too much tread on them.
Yeah. Not enough tread on them. Too many miles.
Not enough tread. Too much.
Josie's been in the league for 5 years. He's had about 14 head coaches.
That is true.
I mean, Jesus.
I mean, on one hand, it's good for him that he stayed in one, you know, program for 5 years. Cool, you don't have to sell your house, move your family.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think he's had almost a new head coach every single year.
It's fucking not good. Not good stability there. Went from the most stable college program to potentially the least stable NFL program. But he's still tackling. Still. I mean, he is who he is. We're going to get him on the podcast. He's going to come on. I'll create a little box for him when we get him on. We'll quad screen it. No one said anything about the incredible tech guy shit that I have going on here.
Yeah, you're probably going to just make us three split the side, and you're still going to give yourself half.
Facts. He's just going to column us down.
Hey, when your attendance is 100%, you get to do whatever the fuck you want, booze. Right? And then, you know what? Because I know.
I never was amazing at attendance. And honestly, this is the first time you've ever been good at attendance in your life.
That's not true. College classes are the only thing that I've ever been bad at attendance in my life. And it was intentional. Now, because I know that Drake is not going to show up at some point, that I know it's going to look like this, right? I take, you know, let's say Drake's out of the equation here.
Whoa. And then, whoa, look at that.
Now it's me and Kevin. Right now, let's say for some reason.
Is Drake still in here though? Oh,
we bring Drake back in and we take Kevin out.
That's crazy.
We put. Wow. And now we got me and Drake. It's a me and Drake episode, right?
Dickhead Tuesday.
Now we have another show called Dickhead Tuesday. And there's that one that I upgraded, right? So.
You see Goopy there, man. He's a star.
Somebody does work around here. For everybody that's wondering, you got to watch the video to figure out what I was just doing with the, you know, with the overlays. But your guy's been putting in work over here. All right? We're trying to upgrade this show. Make the clips look better when we put out clips.
Yeah, when I'm gone, I'm just trying to write jokes.
All right. Well, is there a definitive answer on why after 10 years I'm like a toilet and it's just so easy to shit all over me?
Do you remember what KF said in that press conference?
But there's no reason why. It's just you're just stating a fact. And actually, yes, I do remember.
But Klub,
quite frankly, I was more worried about the throw than the catch. I felt pretty good about Klub. You know, he's a senior, and everybody wanted to kill Kluber his first year when he was on campus. Now everybody loves him, so he's really grown over 5 years now.
This was a tough week.
That's true, too. They didn't want to kill him. He was hard to like for a while.
But there's no reason. I have it queued up. So Tech Guy wins again, right? Listen, why am I so dislikable?
Listen, if you can't admit that you're hateable, then we got nothing for you, dude, because there's two of your friends right here that are looking at you saying that you are mighty fucking hateable, my friend.
Clue, we love you, but you just have that demeanor, right?
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know what it meant when we were also talking about it, but you just got it, all right? You're just someone who's easy to shit on, and we love doing it.
I've been trying to figure this out for 10 years. 10 years. And I'm okay with it.
Started with you.
So you tell me that
in the back of your shoes. That's when I started really hating you for the first time.
When I tuck my sweat. And by the way, still do it. Because guess what? When you got redwood legs, right? When you walk around with genetically gifted quads, the pants that you have to wear.
He wonders why he's hateable.
Yeah, the last two sentences is what did it for me.
When you look like Tom Platz, Google it, right? Google him.
Kid, when you're 5'7", buddy. You look like you should work in Charlie's Chocolate Factory.
I do have a contract at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, specifically on
Willy
the chocolate.
Wonka gave it to Charlie. Don't you remember at the end of the show?
Whatever. Pants don't fit.
Are you telling me that you didn't get shit on in high school? Like your high school like friend group, you were not the friend that got shit on?
No. Oh. And you want to know why?
And he met the boys.
You want to know why? Here's what it is.
They couldn't talk as good shit?
No, there's plenty of people who I think there's some part of me I think it's indescribable. I give off an energy that is somehow felt by other people that it's like it's okay to shit on this guy.
Exactly.
I don't know if I somehow magically through the aura of our vibes let other people know that hey, if we shit on this guy, he's not going to take it too hard. Like, he's going to be able to deal. Like, this guy won't kill himself if we bully him, right?
Pretty much.
Like, dude, do you know how many sociopathic tendencies you had? You were a fucking full-blown sociopath. Those are easy to hate.
I think
sociopath, but not psychopath.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I think the other part of it, too, and this is why the switch was made in high school to college. I mean, let's be real, boys. I'm fucking winning, right? I'm winning, right? So, like, I'm 5'10". I was fat. I was slow. But guess who got the fucking entry card, the little lock card that enters the building, right? Right? I got into the program. Who gets into the program and looks like me? You know? Who goes to the Under Armour game and looks like me? Who gets to work for himself, chill, work out 3 hours a day, and looks like me?
You know, you just brought up something, and I got to go back to the earlier point. Clove, we did meet like almost exactly 10 years ago at our official visit.
Oh.
And this set the tone for shitting on you later in our relationship. You were wearing your Under Armour All-American shit. And I was like, need to shit on this guy. Need to shit on this guy a little bit.
Hey, but All-American, you know? Right?
And therein lies the answer.
And here's the deal. And I will admit this. And I've always been this way, right? Cocky son of a bitch.
Yeah, and it's fun to take a cocky son of a bitch down a peg.
And I think the reason that I get shit on so much is because you can run me over with a shit dump truck and I'll wake up the next morning and I'm still winning, right? I'm still a cocky son of a bitch. You're never going to take me down because in truth, dead ass, the security I have within my own self, right? You talk a lot of people have insecurities, worry about what other people
you definitely can't shit on the self-conscious people. Like there's people that, you know, you get their vibe and they're not a little self-conscious.
Yeah. They're not,
can't do it. No,
they're not sure about their ability.
Suicide note.
But I am the most secure person. And it's probably in a bad way, but I have never given a fuck about what anybody else thinks, right?
What about Doyle?
There were times where I had to.
Doyle,
I certainly
on him too.
Who shit on me more than Doyle, right? Man, I will tell you this. Doyle, we've talked about it. He shit on everybody. Didn't matter if you were black, white, or turquoise, by the way. Not
but
racist.
There's some people he took pleasure in doing it on. You were one of those.
And I was one of them. And I will say, there's a lot of people out there that if they took the emotional ego beating that Doyle gave me, which I needed and clearly didn't work fully because I'm still acting like this on a podcast 5 years later. There would be some people, and there were some people, that would leave the program. They'd find a new spot. They couldn't handle it. They'd drop out, and they might find the 22nd floor of that building that we stayed in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. That's all I'm saying. And I'll take it. I'll take it. You guys, this is open invitation. I don't want you to stop shitting on me.
We weren't going to. I don't ever worry about that.
You know, in the 4 years,
Drake's probably already got material for your funeral, right?
I hope so. And he's certainly not going to ever see that. He's gone.
Drake is about plus 18,000 to see your funeral.
To make it to my funeral.
I mean, you're probably going to beat him by about 20 years in the lifespan at least.
Sure.
B, hey, there's a chance that he just doesn't go even if he still is alive.
Facts.
Are you the book, Kevin, at plus 18,000?
Yeah, sure.
What's the max?
There is no max.
We're not
you got to pay it up front.
I'll take I'll take plus 18,000.
Murder doesn't count.
And I'm putting a fucking bullet in his head.
Murder doesn't count, you know? Hey, murder is a refunded bet, you know?
Hoover, I'm taking a massive life insurance policy out on you.
So that you both make money on
it. And then, you know, all rules are valid. All rules are valid.
Jesus.
Then I'll start taking action on Drake's death because you're going to have to kill him before he kills you.
Off of the window. And make sure that your daughter's all taken care of. It's all cool.
Yeah.
She'll be covered.
That's what's coming next, man. They've legalized betting on almost everything else. We're gonna go back to the Coliseum eventually.
And Chicago has stopped criminalizing murder that happens in shootouts, dude.
Excuse me now? What?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. The city of Chicago in consensual gunfight charges murder is not a thing.
Oh, so we're going back to duels? Sick.
Legitimate, dude.
I have to look this up.
I would love to go to a duel with like a 18th century musket pistol, whatever you call that. Flintlock. Yeah, that'd be sick. Does it have to be a gunfight or can it be with swords too?
I just remember reading and hearing on a podcast about how insane it is that Chicago basically stopped charging people with murder in consensual gun violence.
What does consensual gun violence even mean, though?
Like gang violence, I guess.
I'm seeing here.
Am I wrong?
I just refuse to believe that is actually a thing.
Am I wrong? Am I false news in it? Fake news in it?
That sounds like the epitome of fake news.
I don't think that's real. If someone can corroborate that.
Somebody in the Discord, please back me up.
The only thing I could see as being realistic is that they've downgraded it from like a murder 2 charge to like a manslaughter or something like that. Even that sounds ridiculous, but that they're just going to let people shoot each other, it does not sound accurate at all.
The only thing that I'm finding on Google in a very surface level search here is the claim. This is article claim suspects facing serious charges, including second degree murder, kidnapping, robbery, burglary, and arson will no longer be held in custody until trial under a new first in the nation Illinois law abolishing cash bail statewide. The assessment is that that's actually false. Judges in Illinois will still have discretion to order suspects for these crimes to be held in jail pending trial. I don't see anything about.
Yeah. So they got rid of cash bail in Illinois and, but like if you're brought in front of a judge, he can still like remand you to prison until your trial.
Drake was going to try and kidnap me across state lines, right across the Davenport there, Quad Cities, and just
no, it was in Chicago proper, and I know I read a headline about it because I'm not just making this shit up.
Because Drake's into that stuff.
Rogan say that shit too, bro.
Because if you follow Drake's Instagram, it's a curation of some of the wildest shit that you.
I gotta talk about this, Drake. Why do you share so many videos of people just getting absolutely destroyed, like hurting themselves,
the
like
fucking on motorcycles,
skateboards, whatever? Why do you just enjoy sharing people hurting themselves in like the worst fashion?
Yeah, I don't find hurt. Hurt finds me.
And you just want to share that with everyone?
Such a non-answer. Such a non-answer. You're an asshole, dude. You're an asshole. I should have made your square smaller.
Is that possible?
I should have made your square smaller. That's what I should have done. So that's all I have to say with that.
I'm a rectangle too, you fucking idiot.
Whatever. It looks good. The overlay looks good. I hope you guys think it looks good. If it doesn't, if you have suggestions, tell me. I can do whatever. I'm fucking magic, you know? So there's 25 minutes of us just... I mean, that is something that if you listen to the first 100 episodes of this podcast, you're not going to get it. There's not going to be a conversation so smooth and clean like we just had. in the first however many episodes of this podcast. Let's try and talk about football a little bit, right? We got a few things since we've last talked, at least about sort of the off-season stuff. Iowa, the Hawkeyes, the team that we played for, got a couple other transfers coming in. Okay, so one was announced today. One was announced a couple days ago. Got a kid.
Does one of them put their hand in the ground?
We'll get there. We'll get there. The first one was, I believe, over this weekend, a receiver from Charleston Southern who was the Big South Offensive Player of the Year, maybe. To be honest, I couldn't have even told you that the Big South was a conference. I don't even know what other teams are in that conference.
Kevin, did you know that Max Duggan is from Iowa?
Council Bluffs, right?
Yeah.
Who did he play for?
Lewis Central.
Lewis Central, that's right. Why does Lewis Central always make me think of a train station? I always think of a train and train station when I hear Lewis Central.
I'm pretty sure it's a railroad town.
That sweet.
Seth Anderson is his name. He chose the Hawks over offers from Georgia Tech, James Madison, Appalachian State. So he wasn't super highly sought after, but at this point, got a couple people entering the portal. We need some receivers. He's 6 foot, 180 pounds, had 42 catches for 612 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. So that adds to the receiving core. Huh.
Where do you play?
Charleston Southern. So smaller school. We're going to have Cade McNamara slinging it. We picked up his buddy tight end in the portal. So now we're going to have Luke Lachey and Eric All.
That's a big get, man. For our offense, that's a huge get.
Eric All's stock just went fucking.
Dude, think about this. We now have a very confident winning quarterback.
Chuck.
And the guy who's most important in our offense, arguably, from a skill position, it's either running back or the tight end. But tight ends are so incredibly important in Iowa's offense. That's a pretty big upgrade.
Well, I mean, we have Lachey.
Yeah, you had to backfill Laporta. Yeah,
and now we've filled that. I mean,
you always want two in our offense.
We need two.
We need two.
Right.
Right. You're right.
And
so now we got two real good starters, and one with chemistry with the quarterback. That's a big get.
Now, randomly today. I don't know how familiar you guys are with our quarterback situation. So it was Petrus, Padilla, Joe Labus, Carson May was a freshman this year. He was from Oklahoma, I believe. He transfers out after 1 year in the program. A day later, today, we get a former four-star commit to Wisconsin. His name is Deacon Paya Hill. And now he transfers into Iowa. We have two quarterback commits in the portal. So this kid's a freshman. What they both have, you know, him and Carson May have the same. They're just exchanging. Like
Carson May's going to Wisconsin?
No. Carson May's out. He's going somewhere else.
No.
We're getting a quarterback from Wisconsin who has just spent his true freshman year there and decided, similar to May, that he's not going to.
Or he just doesn't like
the place. Like, people are just switching. Like, you have the same amount of eligibility left, but one of you is confident you can do it at Iowa, one of you isn't. It's so weird.
It is weird. I mean, so what? Cade's got two if he wants them, right?
Correct. Unless, so 23-24 is
Cade. I mean, if Joey Labus sticks around, he's going to have he'd have two more or just
he one would more have after? One more after that. So he would have 25 if he wanted it.
He would only have one season as the guy. So if doing the calculus as a quarterback looking at Iowa, if I'm a young guy, it's like, does Joey Labus stick around? Even if he does, can I beat that guy out? Then I'd have at what, two years to be the guy?
Talking about Carson?
Yeah.
Carson was a true freshman this year. Yeah. So he would have, you know, after Cade graduates, assuming he starts for the next 2 years, Carson would have the opportunity to win the job in 25 and 26.
Yeah.
And kids just don't want to do that anymore. Nobody wants to sit for 3 years anymore in college football. I mean,
which is crazy for a position that there's only one guy playing. I understand it if it's like you're not playing and there's a stable of receivers getting playing time ahead of you.
Right.
Like, you know, you got to play eight receivers in some of these offenses.
Right.
But as a quarterback, as an 18-year-old kid coming out of high school, you got to understand that unless you're like a top five quarterback in the country coming out, you're going to be sitting.
There's a, like, if they do the math, there is a scholarship quarterback in every class at every school.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
There's one guy who starts out of those five. The school that you're going to end up at in the portal has four other fucking dudes.
Right, yeah, the demand's just not that high, especially if you've never played before. And we saw it happen with our guy Deuce Hogan.
Right.
And guess what? He doesn't have a scholarship anymore.
Yeah, he's now
Does anymore or now, but he didn't when he first went to Kentucky.
Right. So last year in 21 would have been his first year, I believe. He just spent his redshirt freshman year at Kentucky as his second year of five eligibility. He's now the second string behind the guy that we just played against in the bowl game.
He actually played. Did you see that?
Yeah, he got in at the end. He got in at the end.
Yeah.
Funny storyline. But now he's the second string behind that kid, and I think that kid is just as young or younger than him.
I think he might be younger.
I think he was
class or a year younger, I think.
So, No.
That we played at Kentucky.
Wade was his name. And now he goes, I mean, Deuce could have, and I understand it's not always going to happen like this, but I do think it's going to be more often than not that the story is going to be like Deuce. Guys are going to have scholarship offers out of high school. They're going to be that one guy for a team in that class. They're going to get pissed that they aren't the starter by their second or third year. They're going to transfer. Oh, fuck, I'm walking on now, and I'm still not playing.
And I think a lot of them are going to be like, especially for those really young guys, think back to their recruiting. It's like, oh, all these guys wanted me so badly back when I was in high school. There's definitely a spot for me out there. And to be honest, if you're a quarterback with less than 3 years of eligibility, your value is not great unless you've got good tape, right? If you haven't played, then there's I don't know.
Yeah, a college is, in my opinion, is much less likely to take a chance on you in the portal and really like come after you and say, hey, you're the guy, after you've sat on the bench for another school for a year or two.
The only examples you can think of are like really high recruits that were sitting behind really talented quarterbacks at the key or the blue chip programs, right?
Right. Right. Like, I mean, there's going to be the outlier situations. I think
Justin Fields
was behind whoever at Georgia and ended up finding his way to Ohio. But if you're a quarterback, you're not Justin Fields. He's the QB for the fucking Bears. Like there's not many of those, right? So you're not that guy, pal.
Most of y'all are not that guy.
When did it become the standard that like playing Division I quarterback was supposed to be easy?
That's the problem here is I think all these kids think the expectation or the assumption of these kids coming out now is like they do think they're that guy, and they don't have
kids,
and they don't have anything in them, most of them, to fight back when they get to a school and all of a sudden they're not that guy. And they're like, oh, fuck, I just got to go somewhere else where I can clean slate it. Not I should figure this out, earn respect, work my way up.
I mean, I can respect betting on yourself, but you can also bet on yourself where you're at, too.
Where you're at.
You got to be smart, too. Right. Yeah. It's weird, man. It's weird. So, you know, luckily, we did get one of those guys. Cade is one of the few that's like, okay, McCarthy balled out this year. Cade had unreal tape.
Right. No, he played a full year of Big Ten football and took his team, won a Big Ten championship, took his team to a college football playoff game.
Right. There's just not many of them.
You pretty much, you know what you're getting, right?
Right. So we pick up that Wisconsin quarterback. We got Cade. We have Eric Gall. We get the Seth Anderson guy. Tomorrow or Friday, this weekend, I believe, we have a kid coming in who puts his hand in the ground. Drake. Stanford offensive line transfer portal Walter Rouse is scheduled to start his official visit to Iowa on Thursday. Rouse started 39 games in the last 4 years in the Pac-12. That is some experience.
Also, now imagine
tackle or guard.
I believe he's a tackle. Let me
think about this. You guys thought that our official visits were fun as high school kids. Imagine being a dude who's got all this experience and how fucking immaculately he gets wined and dined.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And especially because,
can you imagine, dude? That's like going to your NFL visit as a top five pick, just having them just suck you dry.
Well, see, like, you're over 21, you don't have to worry about getting in trouble on your official visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You order the whole menu at Joseph's.
So on his Stanford profile, it says that this Walter kid is 6'6", 320.
Oh, my God. With 39 games of experience?
39 starts under his belt at Stanford.
Who they're on their knees.
Right. But, you know, and Stanford has been ass the last 4 years. But it's hard to get
experience, man. It's hard to beat experience and age.
And smarts? I mean, we're talking Stanford here, boys. So, I mean, he was a William V. Campbell Trophy finalist this year, along with Jack. He was honorable mention in 2020. I don't know what happened to him in 2021. He was at one point on the Outland Trophy watch list. I mean, if we can get this guy, and the problem here is like, okay, he's a little bit more sought after. I do believe he's also – I think I saw he's also taking visits to Oklahoma and Nebraska.
Both those programs stink.
Well, so there's competition. In my mind, you look at that and you go, well, Iowa needs me the most. They have the best record between those three schools of putting guys in the NFL. He's got 1 year to pad that resume and maybe do something with the rest of his career. So if we can land that guy, that feels good because that feels
a lot of development from the current guys on the line.
Yep.
You could have a solid offense.
This brings me to my next point. Nico Ragaini, he's coming back.
How? Because
these kids have 40 years, dude. COVID hit, and they just said, fuck it, stay in college.
In what realm of reality does Nico still have eligibility?
Kevin and I talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last podcast. You weren't here. We're like, he was in the building when we were training for Pro Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was in the building spring of 2018.
I think the kids, they put up a room for him. I think they cleared the specialist meeting room and it's just Nico's bedroom now. He just has a computer in there and everything. So that's good, right?
Dude, Nico is Jordan Belfort in the meeting where he's about to turn over Stratton Oakmont, but he stands up there and he's just like, you know, he's, man, like, I love this place too much. It means too much to me. I ain't fucking leaving.
All right.
I ain't fucking leaving.
Here. Go around the room here. Kluver, if you had a sixth year, you're taking it, right?
Oh, 100%, brother.
Drake, come on. You got a sixth year, you're taking it.
Coming right off your fifth year.
We talk about it all the time in the house, man. Would we do another camp? We already did the last one. That means another spring
camp, man. You know that camp's going to be about as easy as a camp can possibly get.
And camp's not what camp used to be either.
And camp's not what camp used to be. No doubles.
Do I get to sit out spring ball again? Sure. Already proved I could do it.
They probably would put you on the same workload as the previous one. Yeah. The only thing is we might have a scheduled class during one of those spring ball practices every week, but you might not.
Dude, maybe. But the fact that I'd have to go back and take 12 more hours because I'd still have to work on that dumbass minor that I was.
I think you could take nine.
You can take nine and go for a grad program. Like if you're there for 6 years, man, and you don't have a master's in something, you fucked up.
All right, so 9 hours of
6 years, and you're there in the summers all the entire time too. You should honestly be halfway to your PhD.
You should be running out on senior day with your fucking white coat on, because guess what?
Nico did run out on senior day, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's gonna do it again as Dr. Ragaini.
Dude, imagine getting two senior days though. That'd be kind of crazy.
That'd be weird. That'd be a little weird.
It'd be a little weird. But he's gonna do it.
And plus, dude, like for all these, you know, I'm not 100% sure on, you know, Nico's situation with NIL, but there's a lot of college football players out there who are good college football players and like kind of, you know, the guy
they're making more money than they're gonna make in the real world.
100%, right.
Stack your chicken.
Right. Because they're not quite NFL guys, but they're good college players and could be like some of the bigger names on their team. You can absolutely make more money in NIL in college. And
it's a
9-to-5 job. Yeah.
It's a lesser example of Caitlin Clark, right? Like Caitlin goes off to the WNBA. She ain't making the money she's making right now in Iowa City. Not even close.
But maybe she'll still be a Nike athlete in the WNBA. And
for her, it's different.
Probably still continue to sponsor her. So
you're probably right. The two
still run with her.
You're right. But like Nico, people know who he is. But is he going to become a name in the league? Is he going to catch? Maybe, but odds are no. And so he's not going to be able to make that money where he comes back for another year. Maybe he can make $50,000, $100,000. I don't know.
And he gets to play football again.
Yeah.
That's the part that, like, given the opportunity to play 12 more games, I jump at it. But thinking about a whole nother offseason while still having to go to school, it's so painful.
The school part is ace. Straight ace. Now, speaking of playing football again for another year, a couple more announced. One close to the heart of me. Tory Taylor coming back to punt footballs again. He's coming back.
He's got to be making so much money. He's the king of Iowa City.
But he is potentially the most popular player now on the team.
Did he win the Ray Guy? And if not, why not?
He's like older, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like 28.
I think he's like 26 or maybe.
So can you imagine strolling into Summit at 26?
Yes. Yes. Here's my thinking on why Tory returned, because I had intel.
I brought my house. I was 25 years old.
I had intel at one point that this was Tory's last year, right? He's going off to the league. He's going to try his hand at catching on. In the NFL, you cannot – my baby is crying right now. In the NFL, you have to be able to traditional punt well. You have to sit in a pocket. You don't get the luxury. By the way, Casey Kreider weighed in on the punt formation thing, where the reason why they don't is because it's a rule. In the NFL, only the two guys on the end of the line of scrimmage can release before the ball's kicked. So they have to go. That basically puts them into spread punt.
Sure.
And because of that, it gets tight sometimes. Like you. Tory doesn't have the luxury. I don't know if you guys have noticed. They kind of roll him out, and he just uses pure power, not a lot of technique, to just smoke those things downfield. They can't do that in the league. And I think he very rarely has hit a spiral punt while in the black and gold uniform, which is rare. He just has crazy leg strength. He just plus 50s it end over end from anywhere on the field and still hits it 50 to 60 yards. It's absurd.
But he's like damn good at that.
Damn good.
And the thing is, like, I think I was listening to McAfee talk about this one time. A lot of teams, that's all they do is like, you want you to hit a plus 50 punt to the moon, 45 yards, no return.
But in the NFL, if you don't have the ability where you're on your own 30 or closer to your end zone backed up, you don't have the ability to hit it 60 to 70 on a spiral. there's less of a chance that you're going to be on a team. That's just the way it is. So that he knows, and I think he's pretty – if he hits it good, he can smoke it, spiral. But his consistency in traditional punting is not where it needs to be. I think that's why he's coming back, and the fact that he's a superstar in Iowa City. Now, there was that weird thing where because he was on a student visa from Australia – at one point, he wasn't making money from NIL deals, so I don't know if he's made any money at all, or if he can like.
That'd be a bad beat.
If I'm him, If I'm him, I'm laundering that. I'm making shell LLCs or something so that I can collect once I get out. Right. That's not advice, Tori. Just what I would do, but that's certainly a factor. He's a household name. Tori's coming back. Nico's coming back. Our guy, Joe Evans, coming back for another year, baby. Let's go. Announced today. He's like my second favorite player.
He still had eligibility. I didn't know Joe Evans was that old.
Oh, yeah. He's been low-key, right? I mean, he's been a little bit low-key.
He's been around, man.
I mean, just a 230-pound quarterback out of Ames, Iowa, who came to the dark side, right? Playing for the Hawks, puts on another 30 or 40 pounds, rush the end, go make some. I saw a stat today that he quietly has, if he gets something like 8 sacks next year, he'll be fourth all time in Iowa history. Whoa. He needs like a sack and a half to pass Adrian Claiborne.
What?
That's how productive Joe Evans has been.
Damn.
So that's a big get, like, especially with our next topic.
Crazy.
Hercules is gone. We're losing a big boy, and it's sad, and we're going to get him on the podcast because we need to talk about it, but Kev, fuck,
can
man.
Can you imagine leaving two on the table? How big of an absolute superstar you got to be to leave two?
If you're leaving two, you're going in the top two. Rounds, that is.
And here's the thing. Josie echoed this sentiment of several other people that like reached out when he announced this. They're like, wait, who's Lucas Van Ness? Like, is this guy really that good? I don't know why he's not a bigger name. I think he's been overshadowed by Campbell and some other guys on the defense, and he's just quietly become a superstar. But people who know football.
Tape don't lie.
Tape don't lie, and people who know football.
And he's got all the tools, so he's got a really high ceiling in the league.
High, because his rate of growth in the last 18 months as a Hawkeye has been absurd.
Could he be like a Bosa?
I was going to say he's like a Bosa.
Built like a Bosa brother, dude.
He's built like a Bosa/Watt type of body. Like, I don't know if he has the speed of like a TJ Watt.
I don't think he has the length of TJ or the size of JJ, but I think that he's longer and as big as Nick.
I think he's got the power. I saw a clip today of some NFL guy who was like turned on to Van Ness's tape, and he put it up. I think it was one of Northwestern's, their really good offensive linemen that they had this year. And he runs through a motherfucker, puts him on his ass. And I was like, and it's just like, I don't remember Van Ness making, he wasn't flashy, but that check is going to be.
He was flashy. I recognized him, dude. I didn't watch a lot of Iowa. And when I watched Iowa, I was like, this guy.
Josie sent us the announcement and said, what is this kid doing?
Yeah.
And you responded with, he's about to get drafted in the first round. He's one of the best D-linemen
in the top 25 in the country.
And Josie's like, what? Like, I didn't even know about this kid. Then Ike said that people over in Buffalo have been asking about him. Lucas Van Ness, I mean, good for you, buddy.
Come on this podcast and get yourself a phenomenal blow, because we'll do it.
Yeah, please. Drake said something like in the group chat that we've been sucking him off all year, and I said just absolutely guzzling him because the kid's good, and he has better genetics than all three of us potentially combined. That one hurts, but the D-line group is pretty deep. Joe Evans comes back. We got a transfer from the national champs, by the way. This is a Reaver podcast, Kevin, still. They're natty champs. So this is a national champion. This is a championship podcast, by the way. One of their D linemen, I can't come up with his name right now, but he's coming to Iowa.
My friends who played for the Reavers said they hated it so much.
Well, it's a nice little stop on a journey. But it's we're one of their Same. I got a couple buddies, same. So we're gonna be fine on the D line. Certainly gonna be fine in the back four. We got some questions to answer in the middle layer of the defense there, but I think they'll get it figured out. We got Goat Wallace, right? Heading that position up. I think we're gonna be okay. And you know, we just talked about if we can get the offensive lineman from Stanford, we get a little bit of development from our guys. We got Eric Gall. We got Nico. We got this Charleston Southern kid. If we can get like one more receiver in the transfer portal, 12-0? I mean, undefeated? Fuck it. Why not?
Although, I already said it was going to happen. I know. We talked about it.
We talked about it. We talked about all the factors that went into it that mimic 2014 into 2015.
Penn State already got a second spring ball.
Yeah, Penn State might be a problem. They just kicked the shit out of Utah in the Rose Bowl. We play them to like open the Big Ten schedule next year.
Michigan was supposed to be a problem. Ohio State was supposed to be a problem.
This is true. We didn't play either of them in the 2015 season.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right.
There was a problem on that schedule. Wisconsin was supposed to be a problem that year.
I wouldn't call them not a problem. We just dealt with the problem. You got to find ways to deal with it. But I mean, shit's looking up. Who do we get on first? Out of all the guys who just graduated, I just wrote it down a big list. There's like 10 of them that would be, you know, kind of high ticket guests here. Lucas being one of them. Merriweather, Riley Moss, Laporta, Jack Campbell.
Yes.
You think he comes on?
I want to talk to him, man. I want to have a conversation with him. I just want to hear him. Like, everybody speaks so phenomenally highly of him. I just want to talk to him. I want to know the guy.
We might have to send him like a edible arrangement.
Send him this clip, man. Hey, we really want to know you, Jack.
Oh, let's Okay. Let's do this. Let's make this our pitch to Jack right here. And then I just made mine.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I'm nervous. Jack. Hi. Bald former long snapper here. I run a podcast now and honestly, if I could have worn your jersey every day this year, I would have. I had to split time with Coop because he was doing big things, but we'll get to him when he's coming out. Obviously, Butkus Award winner. I could list all the statistics, right? We are equivalent as a show to you as a linebacker. I don't know if anyone's told you that. Don't look into that because it's pretty solid, but we are on the same level. And I just want you to know that if you come on this podcast, it probably will up your draft stock, right? Maybe in that second round, we can get you to that first. So that's my pitch. We've been Jack Campbell fans forever.
Because we let this guy talk.
I thought that was a good pitch.
I thought I had him on the hook. And now,
Kevin, you got anything for Jack? We're still on the phone call here.
I mean, we sent him all some Goat Wallace merch. I mean, I think he owes us a couple minutes.
I agree. Coach Wallace owes us like a 4 or 5 hour marathon podcast.
Coach Wallace. So what Coach Wallace owes us is an invite to his house to sit around a fire with some scotch and talk for 4 hours off podcast.
Drake, you telling me you drink scotch right now? I call bullshit on that.
I can't tell you that your house was the last time I had a glass of scotch, Kevin, but if I'm at Wallace's talking to him with you guys, we'll all have a glass of scotch.
For Goat Wallace, I would – I'll sip on some scotch. It's one of the only humans on Earth I'd do it for. get your fucking pads, just in his backyard, like get your fucking pads down.
Back to your comment about the defense having things that they have to replace and worrying about if the lap, blah, blah, blah. If Phil and Wally are coaching them, you simply don't worry about things.
Yeah, just don't worry
about it. You just understand shit is taken care of. Period, dude.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll be all right.
They'll find. I mean, they'll find some fucking guy that's like a walk-on on the roster. Just turn him into a. If they have to.
We do it every year, dude. Look at the guy who's been wearing 30, 37 in our backfield for however long.
We need to have a panel of like Kerner, Schulte, Gervas, Snyder, Loudermilk.
Johnny was a scholarship.
Johnny was on scholarship.
Yeah.
So was Tanner.
That fucks it up a little bit, but there's a prototype. Okay. Well, that was quite a conversation. Jack's not coming on the podcast, sadly.
No chance.
Yeah, that was I fucked up our one chance. So, I'm gonna reach out. I'll reach out to him through my account and his and the walk-on's account. I don't know if we'll get a response. I'll even downsell us. I'll say, hey, can you give us like 20 minutes? You know, like I know you don't want to do a whole hour, but like we need the clips, man. We need the fucking clips. We need people want to hear it.
See, Cliff wants the clips. I want to have a conversation with the guy.
I want to talk to Jack too. I want to talk to Jack in a longer format than we've ever seen him before, which is like maybe a 9-minute press conference, like after a game. I want to get him in a 40 to 50, 60 minute conversation where we can dig into like the motivations, how he, you know, his mindset in the middle of a game, before a game, how he thought about leadership and out of season. I want to hear it all from Jack Campbell because he's quickly ascending into Hawkeye lore. And
he's there, buddy. He's there. American and he's
dude. I know that, but I think an NFL career adds on to that sometimes too. What they do after you look at a guy like Dallas Clark or even George, right? George is thought of as an incredible Hawkeye. His career at Iowa was fucking very average.
Sure.
You know, so the career after Iowa can certainly add to it. And
bro, I don't know if we've ever had a more egregiously underused player than George ever.
Maybe, but he wasn't what he was now. You know, like he could have been.
He obviously had it in him. They buffed him up way too much.
Too much, man. Do you remember what he was when we first got there? He was 210.
Right, but do you remember him at 255 versus him playing now at 238? See the difference?
I also remember how much George liked to enjoy college too. And I think that a lot of that had a lot to do with it.
The talent was egregiously underused.
It was clearly there, right? He didn't just find it, you know, it was untapped. But I think that was a combo fault between maybe him and just we couldn't, you know, it wasn't all on the coaches on that one. I think George would probably tell you that himself as well.
Sure.
So that's it. A lot of transfer out and in news, people who are staying around. That's about it. Now my job as tech guy, you know, I do the cool graphics around
here. Edit out your speech to Jack so he'll actually come on the podcast.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't get back to him, and I will start reaching out to all these guys, but hopefully a few of them respond. I know Riley already said that he would come on a couple weeks ago, so we'll start bringing him on.
You've known Riley Moss, though, right? Like,
yeah, I know Riley.
Know him.
Yeah. He actually lived at Benton for a while, too.
He's by far one of the swaggiest white boys in the game. He wore a mustache like he was in Top Gun.
He would have fit well in that movie.
That was sick.
Josie, Bo, and Kevin did their mustache thing.
It was phenomenal.
he would have fit right in as the fourth guy in that group. So we'll start to get these guys on, hopefully. At this point, we might have to start paying them. I don't know. But we'll see you next time on that.
We got cash to pay dudes? What?
No, we don't. We don't, really. So hopefully they just, give us their time for free. Talking too long. Thanks for listening. This is 383, not 283, as Drake mentioned. He was close. He forgot 100 episodes. But 383, gonna have to figure out 400 here. I think Dallas. A lot of Dallas Clark suggestions.
I texted him, man. I talked to him at Tight End U. He gave me his number and said, please reach out. I would like to do a podcast. So I gave it a few days, let everything settle down, reached out. Bang. Crickets.
That's okay. I want you to send it to me, his number.
Okay.
And then I'm going to reach out.
I'll say you got it from me.
I'm going to say very professionally that we are – the Washed Up Walk-Ons, and we'd like to have you on our podcast for episode 400. And then we'll see what he says. And if he doesn't want to do it, then we'll find somebody else. Have a good night or morning or wherever the fuck you're listening to this. We'll talk to you next time. And that's it. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.